Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy, your host. Thanks so much for listening. Once again, we are here with a new guest for you to meet. And remember that you can find us on Facebook. You can also email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com. Today's guest is Christina Quick Henderson of Montana High Tech Business Alliance. In just a moment, Christina will be back to tell you all about what she's up to. This is Carol Murphy, and you're listening to Heartstock. We'll be right back.
But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That time was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. This land was made for you and me.
You're listening to Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy, your host. Today, our guest is Christina Quick Henderson. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Carol.
Please introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell them a little bit about Montana High Tech Business Alliance and yourself.
Sure. I'm Christina Henderson. I'm the executive director of the Montana High Tech Business Alliance. We are a nonpartisan statewide organization that brings together more than 370 member businesses in high tech and manufacturing all across the state. And I also am an adjunct instructor of entrepreneurship and management and organizational behavior at the University of Montana College of Business. And the Montana High Tech Business Alliance has kind of three main purposes. The first is to bring high tech and manufacturing companies together across the state of Montana. So we have networking events across the state and try to help people make connections and relationships with others in the industry. The second thing that we do is to promote the industry and try to draw attention to it. So we do original research and we write stories and publish a newsletter and try to get the word out about all the great high-paying, high-tech jobs that are available in Montana. And then the third thing that we try to do is fill those jobs. So we maintain a high-tech jobs portal and make classroom visits and try to let people know about the great opportunities in our state.
So were you from Montana originally? If not, what brought you to Bozeman? You're located in Bozeman, correct?
I'm actually, my office is in Missoula.
Oh.
But the founding board of the Montana High Tech Business Alliance was in Bozeman. So I happen to live in Missoula. And when they hired me, they let me stay put. But we are a statewide organization for sure and kind of had our roots in Bozeman. But I did not grow up in Montana. I grew up in Iowa. I'm from a little town called State Center, which is in the geographic center of the state, and it's a small farming community of about 1,300 people. My parents still live there, and so I went to college at the University of Iowa and met my husband there, and he ended up becoming a forester, so we've kind of followed his career with the U.S. Forest Service, and he got a job in Missoula, Montana in 2011, and so that job brought us out to Montana, and we love living here. We've been here about 8 years. We have two sons who are 6 and 11, and it's just such a great state to raise kids, incredibly beautiful, and we just love it. So I'm sold, even though I'm not a native. Mm.
So what was the first thing that kind of impressed you about Montana when you first moved to Missoula?
Oh my goodness. Well, I couldn't help but be moved by the incredible natural beauty that's all around us. It's just a breathtaking state. That's still one of our favorite things, is just to be out in nature and connected to the outdoors. And it's interesting because in our Montana High-Tech Industry Surveys that we do every year for the last 5 years, the number one benefit to doing business in Montana is also our quality of life, which is connected to the natural beauty, our accessibility to the outdoors, the incredible communities and tight network of people around us. And all of those things have really made an impression on me and have made me kind of fall in love with living here and really enjoy it and love the work that I do.
Yeah, great people for sure. Speaking of which, were there individuals in your career path that were influential on you?
Oh, certainly. You know, it was, I kind of had a winding path to where I ended up. I went to college to be an English teacher. So I studied English education and spent 4 years as a middle school and high school teacher. And then when my husband got a job in rural Michigan, and there were no teaching jobs to apply for. And so for about 18 months, I was incredibly frustrated that I couldn't find a teaching job and didn't know what to do with myself. And I ended up meeting through a friend, the owner of a local advertising agency. His name was Chris Brooks, and he runs a company called Bottom Line Marketing in Michigan. He's since retired and sold the business to his daughters. But Chris and I met because I came in to voice a radio ad for him for his marketing business. And we got to talking, and he found out, you know, my background. And he ended up offering me a job, and I didn't know anything about marketing or advertising or business. So he really took a chance on me, but he said he would teach me what he knew, and he did. And I ended up falling in love with business, falling in love with marketing. And through him and his kind of encouragement and belief in me, kind of started this whole new career that I've really come to love. And so after that job, I worked in economic development and as a marketing executive, and then stepped into my current role as executive director of a nonprofit. And I think that Chris really had an impact on me and kind of gave me a lot of confidence and taught me a lot at a pivotal point in my career.
And what was it about marketing and business you think that was such a draw for you? It seems a stretch from teaching English to, you know, being in the midst of business and marketing.
It was a big change. And, you know, when I was going to college, you could never have persuaded me to major in business. I had the perception that business was about greed and just making money. And it wasn't appealing to me in any way, or what I thought business was did not appeal to me. I kind of had this view of like Wall Street business, which was kind of distasteful. But what I came to find out was like small business and entrepreneurship was incredibly exciting and interesting and could have such a positive impact on people and on the community. And so I, through my marketing work, I would get to tell the stories of these small manufacturers or family businesses. I worked for like a 100-year-old candy company, and it was just the best product and this great family business. And so I'd get to tell these stories and find out that these entrepreneurs, you know, they loved what their work. They were creating value and making things, and they really valued giving back to their communities. They were eager to create jobs for their friends and neighbors, and particularly in rural communities and rural states. That's so important to provide a livelihood for yourself and for the people around you. And so that aspect of business was really appealing, and I thought it was very exciting, and I just can never get enough of the stories of entrepreneurs. And so that's a lot of what attracted me to my current role at the Montana High-Tech Business Alliance, too, was just the opportunity to tell the story or hear the stories of these high-tech companies that are really changing the economy in our state and creating all these opportunities for young people to stay in the state after they graduate, to have exciting jobs, and are really, you know, boosting our whole state.
So What was the landscape like here compared to where you were before you moved to Missoula? What are some of the unique things about Montana that you found in your current position?
Well, one thing that surprised me, so I came from Michigan, and this was in 2011, so it's just in the wake of the recession, and, you know, Detroit was really hit hard, and so I thought, boy, Michigan's economy is really in a low spot, so surely, like, I don't really know much about Montana, but of course the economy there will be better than what I've been experiencing in Michigan, and I won't have any trouble finding a job. And when I came to Montana in 2011, that I found out, much to my chagrin, that that wasn't the case. So at that time, the Economist said that Montana was 49th in the nation for wages per capita. The job market was really tight. Like I said, I'd moved to Missoula, and it was really hard to find a job. And the people that I talked to said, boy, you know, take anything that's offered. You're probably going to have to take a pay cut. And I did have to take a pay cut for the job that I ultimately got. And so it was kind of tough. And I became obsessed with this question of, why is this the case? You know, why does Montana have such low wages? It's such an incredible place to live. There's so many great people. We have these great universities. Like, why are the wages low? And what can we do about it? And the Economist didn't necessarily have satisfying answers. But when I encountered the leaders of the tech companies, I got an MBA. I worked at the University of Montana and got an MBA while I worked there. And I was in part of the entrepreneurship club and the MBA program. And through that program, I met some of the leaders in the technology community who were building some of these exciting, fast-growing companies. And in 2012, so about a year after I came to Montana, Right Now Technologies in Bozeman sold to Oracle for $1.8 billion. And I was working in the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana, so we would study the state's economy. And in the data, you could see this huge surge in wages in Gallatin County that year after the sale of that company. And it's never stopped. So Gallatin County still to this day has the highest wages across the state. But I just was fascinated and so excited that high-tech companies and entrepreneurship could have this impact. And because it's not natural resource-based, you know, really, as long as you have good broadband and smart people, you could build a tech company anywhere in any county in Montana. And so I just got so excited at the promise that this industry had and could bring about in the state. And so I think that's a lot of, you know, the ultimate outcome of what I discovered there.
Mm-hmm. And since then, how has the landscape changed? I mean, you mentioned, you know, the changes in Bozeman in particular, which we have all seen, you know, some of which, you know, increase in housing costs. You know, there's some people would venture to say it's not all good, but what do you see for the future of Montana? Where are we at now and where are we going in this realm?
Yeah, well, we've seen so much growth in the high-tech industry in the last 5 years. So starting 5 years ago, we launched the Montana High-Tech Business Alliance in April of 2014, so almost exactly 5 years ago. And we've done an annual high-tech industry survey every year through the University of Montana. And this year, we discovered that Montana's high-tech industry has surpassed $2 billion in revenue last year. 2 years ago, that number was $1 billion. So in just a couple of years, we've doubled that incredible revenue. This industry is growing 9 times faster than the overall Montana economy. It pays twice the median wage, and those wages are going up 5% every year. Our companies plan to create 1,700 new jobs in 2019 and to make $125 million in capital investments. And that capital investment number is a 45% increase over last year. So there's incredible investment happening in Montana. And 2018 was a particularly strong year. We had some huge acquisitions. Cognizant purchased ATG in Missoula. Proficient acquired Elixir in Bozeman. And we had big investments from outside the state. PFL in Livingston got $25 million in growth capital investment from Goldman Sachs. And Onyx Maps in Missoula and Bozeman got $20 million of investment. So we've had some really big success stories beyond the Right Now technology story. So we're really having a lot of economic success. And to your point, when you have tech growth, like we've seen in other communities like Silicon Valley or Seattle, there can also be challenges that come with that growth. So we have tighter housing markets and, you know, struggles to find childcare and with affordability. And so one of the things that we really strongly believe in at the Montana High Tech Business Alliance is that we need to support responsible tech growth and not just growth at any cost. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, the thing that I most love about Montana is this incredible quality of life and the natural beauty and the quality of the community and the connectedness of the communities. And I think all of us working in this industry want to see us maintain what we love about Montana while we bring in positive growth that just creates jobs and helps all of us have good livelihoods and support our families and allows our kids and grandkids to stay in the state. So we're very conscious of that. That's part of our mission, is to be responsible and make sure we're paying attention to the possible problems or the problems that do crop up that come with growth.
We're at that about halfway point. We're going to take a quick break in just a moment. We'll be right back. This is Heartstock. Thanks for listening. This is Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy, your host. And our guest today is with the Montana High Tech Business Alliance. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Carol.
Yeah, as you were talking about the infusion of capital that's kind of helped some of the high tech growth, you know, there's a whole bunch of questions that come to my mind, and hopefully we can get to that in a moment about, you know, money investments coming from Montanans versus people from outside of the state. Mm-hmm. But kind of before we get into that, what I was hoping is you could talk more about membership in the Alliance, where you get your funding, and what are some of the benefits of being a member?
Sure. I'd be happy to spell that out. So 100% of our funding at this point comes from membership dues. So the member companies that participate in the Alliance pay us annual dues. You know, so membership ranges anywhere from $5,000 for a platinum membership for the very largest companies like Oracle or Applied Materials, let's say, you know, down to we've had voluntary memberships for startup companies under 5 employees to kind of help them out when they're getting started. And then with those memberships, you know, the main benefit and the reason why most companies join is the networking. So the chance to attend our networking receptions around the state, we have 7 of those each year. And then at the higher levels of memberships, like bronze membership and above, companies can send a representative to our CEO roundtables. So those are smaller meetings where we hear from experts or discuss important issues that are on our members' minds and try to solve some of those challenges. And then members also get access to posting their news and events in our member newsletter. And the member newsletter is actually available to anyone who is interested, who wants to subscribe around the state. So we have, you know, a version that you can just subscribe to on our website if you want to keep up with the high tech industry. We also write a lot of stories about members and produce other content like videos to try to support them and promote what they're doing or make referrals to the media if reporters are looking for stories and things like that. And we maintain the high-tech jobs portal. So that's available at mchightech.org/jobs. And it's a free resource for job seekers to go and find tech jobs in Montana. And that, and by tech jobs, it's kind of a wide range of jobs. So there's everything from, you know, welding and manufacturing and machine operators to accounting and marketing and sales. And of course, like programming and computer science type positions, which are some of the most popular positions in the portal. But that resource and posting jobs in the portal is free with the membership in the Alliance. So those are some of the best benefits.
And have you seen your membership grow over time? Is this an expanding membership, would you say?
Yeah. Well, it grew very quickly in the beginning. So we started with 20 founding members in 2014. And within a few years, we've grown very quickly. And today we have 370 member companies across the state. About a third of those members are in Bozeman, and a quarter of them are in Missoula. And then we have a large group up in the Flathead Valley. And then the rest are all across Montana, from small towns like Malta to the tech hubs and the university towns. So we have, you know, pretty broad membership across the state, and we continue to grow steadily. I think the speed of our growth has slowed over time as we've kind of gotten a lot of the companies that we know about involved. But we still continue to grow at a little slower pace.
So let's tackle this question, the burning question, and because growing up here in Butte and then leaving and come back, I kind of had a couple aha moments where I realized a lot of the wealth that was generated here in Butte left not just Butte, but the state. Mm-hmm. And is there something, I mean, how can we do this right so that we have a sustainable kind of economy instead of this kind of boom and bust cycle?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think one of the observations that I would make about high tech as an industry is that the vast majority of the companies in our membership, 99% or more of their customer base is outside of the state. So these companies operate here, they employ people in Montana, but their revenue is coming into the state from national or global customers. And then that money gets paid out in wages and in taxes and in capital investment, which creates, you know, other offshoot jobs, you know, construction jobs and supporting local schools and businesses and, you know, healthcare and all those other industries are getting the spinoff effects too. And so it's kind of this reversal of that historic pattern that you mentioned. So in the past, where more of our industries were focused around, you know, extraction or natural resources, a lot of that wealth would get shipped to the coast and didn't stay here in Montana, even if it did create jobs for Montanans. Whereas now, this is creating jobs for Montanans and it's pulling wealth into the state from outside. And like I mentioned, these are high-paying jobs, so they're at, you know, more than twice the median wage in Montana that these companies are paying. And so I think it has incredible opportunity for us. And the thing that's great to see, too, is that it's not just happening in Missoula and Bozeman. Certainly, those are kind of hubs of activity, and a lot of the companies are there. But it's impacting all corners of the state, really. And we see, you know, companies that have sprung up in rural communities and on the reservations. So it really does, you know, if you have an entrepreneur that has the skills and experience to start something in tech, they can bring it to their hometowns, which are often in rural communities and off the beaten path, so to speak. And another trend that's really impacting Montana is remote workforce. So a lot of people bring their jobs to Montana. So they'll come home to Montana if they're from here, or decide to move to Montana because they love the state. And they'll bring a high-paying job with them and work remotely for a company outside the state. And that's increasingly common. And we're one of the top states. I think we're fourth in the nation for number of remote workers. So that's increasingly common too.
And what can we do as a state and communities to help support the activity that you're doing and bringing more high-paying jobs here to Montana. Is there a magic recipe to create a soup, so to speak, that feeds all of this?
Well, I don't know if there's a magic recipe, but I do think there's a multifaceted approach that we can take. So one thing that's vitally important is, you know, ensuring that we have adequate technology infrastructure. So making sure that folks from the cities all the way to the rural communities have access to good broadband, because that's essential to kind of connecting to that high-tech world that we live in. And the other thing that's important, is education. So part of that is making sure that business and education and government are all working together and talking to one another, so that the education and the skills that our kids are getting are the ones that are relevant for the high-tech economy and the knowledge economy of the future. But then also education in the sense of, you know, parents and people in the community and teachers letting kids know, or young people know, that we do have these great job opportunities in Montana. So for so many years, the story has been, if you graduated from college in Montana or from high school in Montana, you probably would have to leave the state to get a high-paying job. And increasingly, that's no longer the case. In the last 5 years, we've seen such an increase in job opportunities available, and really exciting job opportunities and really interesting work for global companies. And so telling our kids, like, you should check out these companies and look at what's possible. And if they want to stay, they increasingly can stay and work for a lot of these firms. So I think those are some of the things that are important to our future.
And plus they have some additional support if they want to start a company.
Yes, that's absolutely true too. Mm-hmm. Montana has a wonderful entrepreneurial spirit. I think that it kind of comes with the landscape we live in and the kind of people who are drawn here. You know, they're not afraid of risk or challenge or a harsh climate, and they're up for adventure. And that attitude goes along with entrepreneurship in so many ways. For the last 5 years, Montana has been one of the top states in the country for entrepreneurship, according to the Kauffman Index. We have tons of entrepreneurs. And a few years ago, we did a case study funded by the Kauffman Foundation, where we went around the state and interviewed 30 entrepreneurs in Missoula and Bozeman and in rural communities, and also entrepreneurial support organizations. And we produced a report about entrepreneurship in Montana and what that looks like. And we found that people really benefited from this tight-knit community that we have. You know, Montana is only 1 million people, and we're so fortunate that, unlike other states that have been studied, Montana companies viewed government and our elected leaders as champions of business. And regardless of what side of the aisle they were on, that was true. So, and we have accessibility to them that's really rare among states in our country. So
we've got
so many assets that we have.
Indeed. And we've got just a little bit less than a minute. How can folks reach you?
We have a website they can check out at mthightech.org.
Fantastic. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy, your host. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, for Christina, for being here and sharing what you're doing. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5 Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at butteamericaradio.org. That time was made